And you're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumery. Good afternoon. After months of stalemate, Juneau's city-owned hospital and the employee union that represents roughly 70% of its staff have finally come to an agreement over a new contract. And at a meeting last night, the Juneau Assembly unanimously approved it. The union's previous three-year contract expired on July 21st, but negotiations for a new one had been halted over disagreements with Bartlett Regional Hospital Administration on how much wages should increase. At the time, the union wanted to see a 12% pay bump over the next 3 years, but Bartlett was only willing to offer 8.25%. The difference between the two is about $5.2 million in the hospital's annual budget. The contract approved by the Assembly last night gives an 11% pay increase for union employees over the next three fiscal years. They'll get a retroactive lump sum for about 0.5% of that for the time they've worked since July without an agreement. This comes as the hospital tries to recover after a difficult financial year. Last spring, hospital leaders shared it was facing a multi-million-dollar budget crisis that threatened bankruptcy. To get back on track, the hospital cut back staffing and closed programs like the Rainforest Recovery Center and its crisis care unit during the summer and fall. A recent financial update shared by the hospital in late December showed it was now making steady, positive income for the first time in years. In a statement shared with KTOO, union leadership said the hospital could be doing more to recruit and retain employees, but it called the contract agreement a, quote, good step in that direction. The Juneau Assembly approved a $3 million loan last night to help a local developer construct a 60-unit apartment complex in the Mendenhall Valley. The money comes from the city's Affordable Housing Fund. The two three-story buildings, called the Creekside Apartments, are slated to be built across the street from the Mendenhall Mall near Pucker Wilson's food truck. The developer is Tower Legacy 2, LLC. According to its loan application, the developer says the location's proximity to grocery stores, healthcare centers, and public transportation will help reduce some of the barriers people with lower income face when trying to find housing in Juneau. The city and borough of Juneau created the Affordable Housing Fund to address the shortage of low and middle income housing and uses the money to help developers create more rentals and single-family homes. Last year, the fund had $4 million available for projects. The Assembly already approved $1 million of that to help renovate the downtown Growth Alaska Theater building into an apartment complex. The remaining $3 million in the fund will go towards this new development, which is expected to cost about $8 million in total. By accepting the city's low-interest loan, Tower Legacy 2 agrees to make roughly a third of its units meet certain affordability requirements laid out by the city. At least 18 of the studio apartments must be available for $1,150 per month, and three of the two-bedroom apartments must go for $1,600 per month. And during the term of the loan, the apartments can't be used as short-term rentals. And President Biden announced yesterday that he's banning offshore oil and gas drilling in large swaths of federal waters, including one section off Alaska in the northern Bering Sea. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Biden called the northern Bering Sea a vital ecosystem that supports traditional ways of life. Alaska Native organizations representing more than 70 tribes in western Alaska and the Bering Straits area issued a joint statement celebrating the announcement. Anna Rose MacArthur is a marine advocate at Kuwerik, a tribal nonprofit based in Nome. She says tribes have been requesting this for 40 years.
So this is a huge accomplishment that's shared across generations, really, of working towards this moment. So it's really exciting.
Tribal leaders say protecting the area from drilling safeguards the fish, birds, and marine mammals they depend on for food and to sustain their culture. The Alaska region subject to the ban has no oil and gas development underway, and the industry is not clamoring to get into it. The ban adds to an offshore withdrawal then-President Obama made when he created the Northern Bering Sea Climate Resilience Area in 2016. Both Obama and Biden used a portion of a 1953 law to withdraw the areas. Incoming President Donald Trump told talk show host Hugh Hewitt, he'll reverse the ban.
It's ridiculous. I'll unban it immediately. I will unban it. I have the right to unban it immediately. What's he doing? Why is he doing it?
But it's not clear Trump can undo this without an act of Congress because the law doesn't have a provision for reversing a presidential withdrawal. In 2019, a U.S. District Court judge in Anchorage struck down Trump's attempt to reverse Obama's Bering Sea withdrawal. On Sunday, as news of the offshore ban leaked, Alaska's new congressman denounced Biden's action and the president personally. Representative Nick Begich wrote a social media post noting the importance of Cook Inlet gas to Alaskans. Biden's closure doesn't extend to Cook Inlet, a Begich spokeswoman said he knows that. A statement from his office Monday said he believes the federal government's opposition to oil and gas drilling diminishes the industry's interest in offshore leases, and he doesn't think a president should lock up resources by fiat. Senator Dan Sullivan also blasted Biden on Fox News.
I think the president Biden's legacy is going to be the worst president in American history in terms of American energy.
Biden, for all his emphasis on clean energy and protecting federal land, presided over a record boom in oil production. Senator Lisa Murkowski's reaction was more nuanced. In 2018, she and Sullivan asked then-President Trump's Interior Department to remove the entire Bering Sea region from upcoming lease sales. Now she acknowledges regional opposition to offshore drilling in the Bering Sea, but says Biden's ban is too sweeping and shouldn't have come so close to the end of his term. The ban leaves much of the Gulf of Mexico available for leases. That area is the source of 97% of the nation's offshore production. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
And you're listening to this week's episode of Tongass Voices, Perspectives from the Homelands of the Occoquan and Beyond. Roblin Gray Davis is a professional actor, and he's bringing one of his favorite ways to hone his skills to Juneau in a five-week-long clowning course. He says clowning can break down the walls we put up to see what's behind.
I am Roblin Gray Davis, and I am a theater maker, a lifelong Alaskan artist. Been in Juneau for over 25 years now, I do believe. And part of my interest in theater has been pursuing this idea of mask theater that comes out of the tradition of Jacques Lecoq, which was a school in Paris that kind of was fundamental in maybe reopening the theater world, the contemporary theater world, to ask, you know, how can we make this more lively and more topical and more interesting in general? And also, how can we train actors and performers, designers, directors to maybe create original work? Though I feel like I am still on my own personal journey in relationship to creating a red-nosed character, which, yes, sometimes the word clown is misinterpreted, perhaps, because of all of the scary movies and all of the different forms that clown theater has taken in the United States, from birthday clowns to circus clowns to the scary movie clowns. But this particular type of red nose clown theater work is coming out of actor training. So it's really part of this world of mask theater, where we're looking at putting on just what's the smallest mask we can put on our face, and that is just a little nose. There's something about how it changes the performer's face in just enough of a way that the audience can see a character and not necessarily the actor. Play and laughter and kind of a liberating creativity is the heart of this work, finding how we are unique as individuals and how our differences, our idiosyncrasies, are our strengths in a way as artists. That's what makes us interesting. If you can find that space as a creative artist where you are hitting a nerve in your audience that elicits genuine laughter, then you are doing something miraculous, I would say. I mean, acting is, I think, one of the most difficult art forms. I'm not a classical musician, so I'm sure, you know, that's probably a little more difficult. But as far as you as an artist needing to be the art form, right? We are, as actors, we are the art. So in order to tell those stories and to perform lively and with authenticity and being compelling as a performer on stage is difficult. It's a difficult task. And so so I think as actors, we need to continually work on ourselves to become more grounded, more present, more available to play, more in tune with our own creativity and those internal impulses we have, all that stuff that I think makes a good performer or a strong performer, someone who an audience goes, it didn't feel like they were acting at all. I felt that they were that character. In order to do that art form, you have to be limber, you have to be strong, you have to be resilient, you have to be present, you have to be all of these things. And this particular work of the clown, clowning around, gets at all of those really important principles of performing.
That was Juno actor Robin Gray Davis on his clowning workshop at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. And as for the weather here in Juno, it's 37 degrees and raining just a little bit this afternoon. Tonight, it looks like more rain, and that looks true for the rest of the week as well, with temperatures around 40 degrees. Tomorrow night looks like we'll get especially heavy rain. And it looks like it will continue through the weekend. We're getting 6 hours and 46 minutes of daylight these days. You're listening to KTOO.